I've decided, given the tremendous message you've already had, to change my message a little bit, but I do want to spend most of our time in John chapter 15, and I want to answer the question, how can we be joyful in a world that is so full of brokenness? If you watch the news when it's not dominated by COVID and the responses and all of the things going on, you discover that there are missing children, dead children, missing mothers, and crisis and chaos, tornadoes that tear through states and bring devastation and destruction, threats of global warming, if that exists, or if it does exist, the tremendous cost we'd have to pay to make it go away, and the news just seems to be inundated with things that should cause you to be anxious and bitter, and anxiety and bitterness steal joy. So how do we have a joy from God? That's really one of the main themes of the Christmas story. If it's true, if you know it's true as we do, then that joy can be a part of who we are. Now I said if it's true because sometimes we love the traditions, the singing of children and the delight we can have in trees and decorations and food and fun, but we don't live the difference that Jesus makes. And one of those differences, in fact, in Luke, 8 times we find this theme so profound. Jesus brings joy to those who know him, a joy that is commanded, a joy that transcends circumstances, a joy that is relational. And if you have your Bibles here this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to John chapter 15, I think this is a passage you could spend months in. I want to look at one verse and then kind of the surrounding verses to it, but the verse I want to look at is in verse 11. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. What does it mean to have a full joy? It means that we'll be a people that live in such a way that there is nothing going on in the brokenness of the world that can steal our joy. Well, right away, you probably want to have the question answered, well, what is joy? And that is a legitimate question. Joy is that contentedness in Christ and his sovereignty that yields a rejoicing and a gratitude. It's actually living as though God exists and feeling, it's more than just a decision, although it includes a decision, and feeling that life will be okay because he is the one who's in control. It's living in the presence of God as if he exists because he does, emotionally and intellectually. Joy. Now, if he came to give us this joy and to give us this joy in its fullness, I think an obvious question is, why is it so often that Christians struggle with this? I got an email from a close friend who said, why is it that so many Christians, this person is in a different country, Indonesia is where they were, and they said, why is it that you Christians in North America seem to be so bitter and so filled with anxiety and so destructive in the culture today? And I responded and I said, I don't think that's correct. I think a lot of that's the media. But really, there is a lot of that going on in Christian circles. And so the question for us, as we have enjoyed such an amazing program, is how can we be those who live as though God exists? Because he does. How can we be those who experience this joy, this settled contentedness with Jesus all of the time? It's commanded. It's provided. It's why he came. And our theme is that Jesus makes a difference, and our passion is that that difference would be on display in our lives because we know him. So I want to make 3 stops. They're not going to be on the overhead because I did this briefly as I was sitting listening to the wonderful children, and I suppose next year you'll get the full message perhaps that I was going to preach this morning. How do we get this joy? And I think the first thing we need to realize is it has to be an overflow of a relationship with Jesus. So I just call this relational with Jesus. How do we get joy? How do we get this fullness of joy that he came to give us? And answer number one is we have to have a relationship with Jesus. Verse 3 of chapter 15. And by the way, chapter 15 is one of the best discipleship chapters in the entire Bible. And in fact, shows us what intimacy with the Almighty looks like and produces. And we'll see the looks like and produces as we walk through it very briefly this morning. Verse 3, already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. What is this word that Jesus is talking about here? And the answer is this word is the gospel, the good news, the reality that Jesus came into this world to seek and save the lost, to pay the penalty for sin that we owe, and with that price paid in full, to reconcile us to God and allow us to live on mission for Him. The word that He had already spoken to them is the word we see developed, and really we would know it as the gospel, that God is holy, that I am a sinner and I live in a sinful, broken world, and the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And so I know this. I see His perfect life. I understand it from the Word. I understand the price He paid on the cross. And then I place my faith in Him and know Him as the risen Savior who conquered sin and death. You will not be able to have joy in your life, at least biblical joy. It will be circumstantial happiness, not joy, in all circumstances, unless you've heard this word that Jesus is speaking about in verse 3, and that it makes you clean. Do you know this Jesus? I don't mean about Him. I think most of you probably know about Him. I don't mean just the baby in a manger or the cuteness of what goes on, but do you actually know the risen Savior? Joy comes from a relationship with Jesus. Secondly, it's relational from Jesus. So it's with Jesus, relational with Jesus. Now I've entitled this second place we want to stop, it's from Jesus. And if we took the time to read all of John 15, which we won't, the repeated word you would hear over and over again as He tells them this for two purposes. The first we saw already in verse 11, this joy. The second we'll see in just a moment in love for one another. But this comes from our relationship with Him. So we must know Him, and then we must, the word that's used, abide in Him. Or live as though He exists, or live in relationship with Him. Be driven and defined by our walk with Him. Live as though He exists. So if you want to be someone who actually has this joy in the midst of a broken, desperate, anxious, and bitter world, the only possibility for you to get this is to not only know the gospel, but then to abide in the one who provided the forgiveness for our sins. Remain in Him. Remain in His love. And again, you might say, well, that's active and nice, and we don't talk about abiding a lot, so what does that actually mean? And it means that you practice His presence or set Him before you all of the time, if you want to use Psalm 16, verse 8 language. It means that the greatest reality in your life is not what you watch on the news, not the brokenness of relationships around you, or maybe even most intimate to you, not the noise that comes from all the things that are going on, but the never-ending love of the Savior. See, the greatest reality to you now becomes knowing Him and living in relationship to Him. Obeying Him is what this passage in John 15 would call it, or in other passages, remaining in His love, abiding in that intimacy with Him and confidence that He is great and good and loves you. You can't have joy just by making a decision to believe in Jesus. Includes repentance, turning from sin to Him. There also needs to be this ongoing abiding or ongoing relationship. If you don't have this, what will happen when you hit the brokenness of life and the bitterness of things around you, whether that's directly to you or in the environment around you, you will almost immediately become a victim to your circumstances rather than a victor in Christ. So here's the challenge, here's the encouragement. If you want to be a person who experiences and lives in joy, this full joy that the Bible commands and promises, you need to have a relationship with Jesus, and you need to have a relationship from Jesus, this ongoing abiding in His presence and living for Him. And then thirdly, and it's connected, and we need to see it as connected, or we'll lose sight of the mission He's placed us on, we have to have a relationship for Jesus. So it's relational with Him, relational from Him. In other words, we're close to Him. There's an intimacy with Him that comes from abiding in Him, of knowing His word, obeying His word, and delighting in that relationship and practicing His presence all of the time. But now there's something that happens that We actually live for him, relational for him. Now, where this is in the text, verse 17, and there's two places in John 15, and again, we're not taking the time to intimately go through this. It's sure worth it. These things I command you so that, now we've seen that in verse 11, right? So that your joy will be yours and you'll be full, this fullness of joy that no circumstance can steal. These things I command you so that you will love one another. What happens when you know him and when you abide in him is not only will you experience joy, but that joy that you experience will be one that you experience with other believers. Because your passion, your focus, your purpose in life is so fixated on Jesus that you will then live with one another in such a way that you will self-sacrificially choose God's best for others. You will literally prefer others over yourself. You know, as I responded to that person who sent me the email, I said, you know, you're right. There are some who name the name of Jesus in Canada and the U.S. They were concerned about the U.S. as well, which is where they now live. I said, you're right. There are some who have had their joy stolen and are living in anxiety and in bitterness. But the vast majority that I know, those that I get to fellowship with, are living in joy and freedom and love. So my encouragement for you this morning as we seek to live out the Word of God together, to live in relationship, to actually acknowledge that Jesus makes a difference in our lives, in fact, the all-defining difference, my challenge and my encouragement for you would be to evaluate your own life over the last week, month, 2 years. Perhaps more than ever before, we can see the brokenness of life. We can see things happening all around us that could cause us to be anxious or divided or bitter or despair. Or we could keep our eyes on Jesus. And we could go to a season like this and a person like him and say, because I have a relationship with you by grace through faith, because you have changed me and now I'm abiding in you and I have this intimacy with you, you are sovereign and you are all wise and you are good, and because you've called me to live with others, one another, in a self-sacrificial, loving manner, I will have produced in me and disciplined myself to experience a joy that no circumstance could steal because it's from Jesus. So may I encourage you this week, maybe more in my life than before, as I have experienced the arrival of a joy in our lives, as we anticipate the joy of the Christmas season and the coming of Jesus, may I challenge you, encourage you, admonish you to be joyful, not because of your circumstances, to be loving, not because those around you deserve it, to be relational, because you have been bought with a price, and to know in confidence that the Jesus who came as a baby did not stay that way. He grew up in perfection to be a man. And he gave his life on the cross, paying the price for sin, taking upon himself the wrath of God and in full satisfying it, and then rising again and calling us to mission, to joy, to love, and to being a people so transfixed by him that when the world goes through a tough time or even a treasured time, they will see the difference in us, ask us for the reason, for the hope we have, and we can share with them the greatness of the one who came and lived and died and rose again. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that your grace leads to gratitude, and that gratitude yields joy. Father, forgive us for when we feel like victims of our circumstances and cause us, in the power of your Holy Spirit, to be victors in Christ. Father, if there are those here who don't know you, would you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, awaken that in their hearts and cause them to want to know you? If there are those who have not been abiding in you but showing bitterness and arrogance and brokenness and anxiety, would you heal their hearts? Would you overwhelm them with your abiding presence, and in that healing, would you give us a deep and passionate and all-defining love for you and love for one another? Thank you for the privilege of living in a broken world, basking in your love, and displaying the beauty of your gospel. Cause us to live this way, to choose this way, to be these people in intimacy with you. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.